Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "How can we thank God enough for you in our return, in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, beginning in chapter 21, verse 25. Jesus is telling the crowds, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you see for yourselves, and you know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Jesus continues, "Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Forgot my clicker. Okay, Paul, we can go to the... Actually, before you go to the first slide, sorry, I'm juking you here. Our last slide last week, the previous sermon series ended with, "I have hope because," right? If nothing else, your testimony, your Christian witness should sound something like that. "I have hope because." And when I wrote that, I wasn't even thinking about the fact that we are diving right into Advent with hope. What a wonderful way to end the year. What a wonderful way to begin the year. We have hope because Jesus. We have hope because everything that God has done, everything that God is doing, and everything that God will do. Amen? Let's pray. God, we give thanks for this day, this season, this year. God, we ask that our hearts would be filled with anticipation. Anticipation for what you will do in our lives and in this world. What you are already doing gives us hope. What you have done gives us encouragement. What you will do will bring redemption and healing to that which is broken. And so, God, we ask that your word would continue to speak, would continue to give hope, and God, that I could be a part of sharing that word today, and that we all could be a part of receiving and hearing that word today. And God, whatever is not from you, whatever is not your word, may it fall to the ground like dust. But may your word remain in our hearts and keep us in your grace. Amen. So, Advent is kind of funny. Advent starts not with Jesus in the manger, or even the prediction, the declaration of Jesus' birth by the angel Gabriel, not even the declaration of John the Baptist's birth to his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Advent starts with Jesus talking about the end of the world. How is that the beginning of Advent? How is that the beginning of Christmas preparation? Well, hope is a funny thing, and Advent is about more than just getting ready for the holiday. It's about more than just getting ready for the birth of Jesus. It's about getting ready for the return of Jesus all the same. Marking and celebrating Christmas as full-fledged believers and followers of Jesus means not just lighting a Christmas tree or setting up a nativity scene. It means having hope for the world that is fully embracing all of God's word and all of God's kingdom. And so we know that hope is about more than just little baby Jesus. Hope is about the second coming of Christ. It's about Jesus finishing the work that he began at Christmas. It's about truly setting right all the things that sin has broken. Now, typically when we talk about the day of the Lord or the second coming of Christ, we get into a lot of apocalyptic language and imagery, and we can go ahead and throw up that first slide, Paul. And for a lot of people, especially voices outside the church, but a lot of time those voices find their way into the church, we start to look a lot more like this. Start to look like the end is here, the end is near, sandwich board signs and doomsday proclamations. This hilarious political ad or political cartoon has the sandwich board prophet there saying, not only is the end near, it's here. And the guy saying, you know, this guy is may finally be onto something, right? In other words, we used to think he was a crackpot, but the world's going so badly, maybe the end really is near here. And you'll note, let's see if I can turn laser on. What's the date on the newspaper? 2012, December 21st, 2012. 12 years ago, apparently, things were so bad that political cartoonists were saying, you know what, maybe the end really is coming. Maybe the end is at hand. I don't know if you think things have gotten better or worse since 2012. I think the point is, and Jesus' words are evergreen here, that there will always be signs. There will always be wars and rumors of war. There will always be things that can cause us to think, well, this is it. The world has gotten so bad that it must be time. Like I said, there's a lot of voices that come from outside the church, outside Scripture, that inform our idea of what the second coming of Jesus, what the day of the Lord looks like. So we have to ask, what is... I don't know. Maybe I need to turn... What did I do, Paul? Okay, there we go. What is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord is when the pastor's clicker doesn't work anymore. No. The day of the Lord is about a lot more than simply doomsday prophecy or fear and panic. A lot of people see the day of the Lord with this trembling, with this almost irrational fear. And I liked this picture because for many images in Scripture, there is this idea, this picture of the Lord coming on the clouds. And if you've ever watched a thunderstorm roll in, especially on the waterfront, especially like the ocean shore, those big dark clouds really can make it seem like it's about to all end right then and there. And of course, it hasn't yet, and most times those clouds roll through about 4:30 p.m. in the summer on the Gulf Coast and are gone by about 6, maybe 7:30 p.m. the same day. So is the day of the Lord God saying, time's up, party's over, right? I'm shutting it down. You're all in trouble. Some folks would have us believe that. What if the day of the Lord is more like God will wipe away every tear from your eyes as the gentle rain washes over? Well, there's definitely room for both those interpretations, but for us, it's a lot more of the latter. It's a lot more of God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. Jesus makes it clear that for those in Christ, for those who are hoping for a better world, for those who are praying and asking for God to make right that which is broken and unjust, the day of the Lord is not a punishing and wrathful God's vengeance on sinners, but rather it is a restoration of what has been broken and a promise of comfort for those who have been suffering. There's so much language about the day of the Lord in Isaiah and Jeremiah. We'll hear more about it as Mary and Elizabeth hear from angels and prophecies and prophesy themselves about what this coming reign, this coming kingdom of Jesus will look like. And for all the language that Jesus uses in Luke that makes it sound more like the party's over and the storm clouds are rolling in and punishment and trouble is coming, it's worth noting that Jesus is speaking primarily about what has always been prophesied. And what has always been prophesied is that the day of the Lord is punishment for those who have abused everything that God has given them. And it is about restoration and redemption for those who have suffered and those who have done everything they can to steward and to share what God has given them. When we talk about wrathful God's vengeance, it's not for every last person on the earth or every person who's afraid of God. It's about wrathful vengeance and punishment for those who have been given places of power and wealth and influence and used that power, wealth, and influence to abuse many people, to manipulate and exploit people and religion for their own gain. And so when we talk about the coming day of the Lord and all these troubles, Jesus makes it clear that those troubles are not for you, assuming that you have been doing what you can to follow Jesus, to love others, to look with faith and hope towards what God is doing, and to put your hand on the plow, for Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. Another common misconception about prophecy in the Bible and when we talk about the end of times or the day of the Lord is this a prediction or is this anticipation? In other words, are we figuring out the whens and the hows and the wheres, or are we looking more about the why and the what? So for prediction or anticipation, Jesus makes it clear that we are not to predict the coming of the Lord. We're not to predict the end times. We are here to anticipate them. We are to look with hope at what God is doing and to trust with hope in what God will do. We're not here to figure out the nitty-gritties of which figure in politics and global events right now matches up with which figure from the Neo-Babylonian period or the Assyrian reign or the Persian Empire or the Greeks or the Romans or Revelation. We won't know exactly when it'll happen. We won't know exactly how it will happen. We only know why and what. And the why it will happen is because Jesus loves us and wants to bring the full redemption of creation about in us and through us and around us. And again, for those who are in Christ, for those who trust in God, it looks a lot more like God wiping away every tear from our eyes. That's the what. So, all that to say, and we've talked about this before in months past, especially as we dove into 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, all this end time talk and obsession continues to be a million-dollar publishing phenomenon. It continues to be the obsession of people on talk radio and in other places and in strange corners of our culture and even in the church. That's not what Jesus wants. Jesus does not want us to obsess over the end times and to worry and to figure out nitty-gritty details, because they've always been wrong every time someone's figured them out before. We need to know, what do we do? What do we do when it comes to this end time prediction? What do we do when it comes to this promise of the coming of God, the return of Jesus Christ? Well, we keep watch. We understand that for all of the world's hurts, for all of the wars and the disasters and the terrible abuses and the terrible sins that have happened and continue to happen, we keep watch. We understand that there are some things in this world that we have influence and control over, that we can act and influence the parts of the world that we have some say and agency in. And we do. We also understand that there are things in this world that we have little to no control over. And so we keep watch, and we hope, and we know that God will act. And we look for the ways that God is acting, and we also hope that God will bring the fulfillment of creation, the fulfillment of Christ's redemption about. We keep hoping. We keep the lights lit and the fires warm, and we invite others to come and hope with us. We also don't just look for Jesus in some coming storm, some deep revelation moment that is yet to be and might not be in our own lifetimes. We meet Jesus today, here and now. We meet Jesus as we invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts, as we seek faith. We meet Jesus when we come to his table here in just a few moments and hear the words, "This is my body broken for you, and this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." We meet Jesus here and now through the Holy Spirit in us, through the Word of God being spoken through Scripture. We meet Jesus through this sacrament, and we meet Jesus when we go out into our lives, into the world, looking for ways to love and serve strangers and neighbors and enemies. When we do that, we meet Jesus. We don't have to wait for the end times. We don't have to wait for some day of the Lord to come down and stun the world. We meet Jesus today. Finally, if I didn't make it clear earlier, we do not worry about the predictions, but we do spend time in anticipation. We have an anticipatory hope, an expectant hope. I love what Heidi said about Advent and about her vocation as a nurse midwife. We are expecting the way a pregnant mother is expecting. We are expecting because we know what God has done. We know what God is doing, and we know what God will do. So we have this hope, and we have this anticipatory expectation that God will continue to work in our world, to work in our hearts and in our lives, and that the day of the Lord will come, and it will be good. And so we invite others into this hope, into this anticipatory expectation, knowing that as we get closer to Christmas, there will be many causes to sing and to celebrate, to rejoice, and there will also be many things in this life that make us say, oh, come, Lord Jesus, come and fix what is broken in this world. Come and wipe away every tear. We know that He has already begun this work, and now, with anticipation, we hope that He will come and complete this work and do it soon. Amen. As I said a moment ago, Jesus is the host at this table. And in just a little bit, we will invite all who trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior to come and join us at this table to hear the words spoken for you. Years ago, Jesus was at the table, and He was seated with His friends and His disciples, and also His betrayer. And those same friends and disciples would all fall away. He knew that. And yet He sat at the table with them anyway. He looked them in the eyes, and He said, "This is My body, broken for you," after He had given thanks to God. Much in the same way, after the supper, Jesus took a cup. He gave thanks to God. And He looked around the table and He said, "This is My blood. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of Me." We continue to break this bread and drink from this cup, declaring God's forgiveness made real for us in Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to meet Jesus today as part of this sacrament, and I invite you to do just that. We have gluten-free options available. They're